welcome to Nerd's Eye View. It's a different kind of episode, and I'm going to tell you about that in a minute. But first, I'm Andrew.
I'm Matthew. I spoke too soon.
I'm Tom. I spoke too late.
That's right. It's the three of us back again.
Back again.
And this is a different kind of episode because we're going to actually play for you an old review that we did from before the days of Benview Network.
We're going to sound smarter after. We sound dumb in the old one, but we're going to sound smarter afterwards.
We're going to sound more high-pitched.
High-pitched, yeah.
That's for sure. The sound quality is not as good as it is now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But we're in a multi-million dollar studio now.
Yep.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And it's our old review of Columbiana, which was originally released August 26th of 2011.
Never forget and when you listen to it.
We reviewed it in September, so we were a couple weeks behind.
We were late to the game on that one.
But you're going to hear that old review, and then immediately after, you're going to come back to us right now, and we're going to give you our new thoughts on it, how we feel about it a couple years on. Maybe it's only a second watch for some of us. Probably all of us.
All of us.
Yeah.
But we'll see what we missed that first time that we caught this time. And we'll talk about what's going on with all the people in the movie and all that stuff.
Bip.
So, here it is. Our original review of Columbiana from episode 24.
If there's no complaints, we'll get down to it.
Down to it.
Okay.
So, movie review. Columbiana.
Directed by
Oliver Megaton. Co-written by
Luc Besson.
Uh-huh.
Luc Besson.
Sacré bleu.
My children need wine.
Tom, what'd you think of this movie?
I mostly went with this one because we looked through all the movies. It's like, this one doesn't look good, this one doesn't look good. It's like, this one looked the least bad of all of them, so I thought, okay, I'll go see
it. He had a list to choose from, what? Planet of the Apes, Contagion, Columbiana, what else?
Even 30 Minutes or Less.
30 Minutes or Less was in there, which he had already seen.
Tom had seen.
Yeah, Tom, like I said.
And,
like, I was going to do Rise of Planet of the Apes, but I knew no one else wanted to talk about it, so.
Yeah.
It was on the list for a reason.
Mm-hmm. So I decided, general consensus, Columbiana, it didn't look that terrible, so I thought, okay, I'll just go see it.
Tom wants to know about little Colombian women anyways.
Yeah, like how they can manage to break it in without getting arrested
mm-hmm.
while doing parkour.
They have superpowers.
I guess.
I don't know.
And then, yeah, so that's why I went to see it. And it pretty much met most of my expectations, except for the fact that I felt it began to drag on towards the end, and I found it kind of boring, and the action scenes were okay, but I don't feel they earned it.
How do you earn an action
earn?
Scene?
I don't understand. Explain.
Explain? I don't know. Pretty much, like, you're going so slow, and it's like, we need an action scene. Let's throw it in here. So, I don't know. This movie just wasn't amazing. It felt like it dragged on too much. Like, felt 10, 15 minutes could have been cutting a little better.
Maybe.
It was okay. I'm just
I felt like some of the characters were really underdeveloped. Like, we really could have seen a little bit more with her and the guy. To see, like, that the guy...
Her uncle?
The guy that she was,
oh,
like...
her boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing the dirty dance with. And, because, like, it felt like if we knew more about him or more about their relationship, it would have mattered more the ending. And sort of the reason why he wanted to know from her, like... Like, you know, who are you?
Where did you come from?
Where did you... Never forget where you came from. And so, and I just... tell me, Tom, the uncle, her uncle...
I kept thinking that was Asif Manji for the longest time.
I figured it would have.
It's like, is that the guy from last year, Pinder?
Right? No. It wasn't him? I didn't
look it up. I don't think so, because he didn't have that accent that's so hilarious.
No, because if it is, then kudos to him for getting the Scarface accent down.
Yeah, no, but the funny thing about his accent is sometimes it just sounded like, you know, it was Spanish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was like one scene where he's kind of giving a speech about like, don't go back to the church.
Oh, yeah.
Don't come see grandma. That's when he sounded Scarface. That's when he sounded like Scarface.
He sounded like it earlier to me, too. Just a little bit when he was having the little girl pick between the life of school and the life of a killer.
Right.
And but that's an important thing to note. This film, I very much thought it was just going to open with that very short part where we see the parents die and
we both thought that.
Aside, and we thought, oh, this will be, you know, it, and then we're going to get right into the action. No, they followed that little girl through her journey and, like, until, you know, she had to grow up.
She was, like, about at least the first
30 minutes of the film was this little girl. We didn't even get to, what's her...
Cliff Curtis was the uncle, and he's from New Zealand.
Oh, that makes sense.
But I do, that's still where I remember him. Live Free or Die Hard, that's where I remember him. He was one of the FBI agents.
Oh. But, yeah.
He was actually the lead FBI agent.
So, I mean, so that was interesting. And you guys didn't believe that the little girl could do all that parkour? Is that what you were...
Well, because it looked like she was just a typical, like, young child, and she was always taller and was the schoolgirl, you know, outfit.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what I...
That was sort of, I think that was the point, to make it sort of like, what the heck? How could she do all these things?
Of course, I just let it go, because I understood this was an action movie, and you needed to do some things that made no sense.
Only a few things.
But the only thing I didn't... Well, overall... as far as the way the action sequences were shot, in particular the fighting, I was let down in comparison to Transporter 3. Like, I felt like there was too many cuts, and they happened so quick, and a lot of times they happen, which is really annoys me, they happen when someone was actually going through a motion, like whether they're throwing a punch, like then there would be a cut right when they're throwing it, like right when maybe the punch is about to land. So then you can't see it. If you listen to Tuesday's show and maybe you watch the Raid trailer, like there are long cuts or long sequences of, you can see people actually getting hit. Granted, they're not being hit really hard, obviously, but like that's nice to see, because it feels more real. Whereas,
that has to do because of PG-13.
With the cuts, though, they don't need to be like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I thought the action sequence was really cool. The one fight scene that I really thought was really good was towards the end when she fought the guy who she faced off as a child, and then they face off again. Like, I felt that one was really well, like, paced. Like, it really felt like a struggle. It didn't feel, like, very one-sided. Like, a lot of times fights in movies that feel like...
This fight...
One guy's winning, another guy's winning, now the other guy's winning. But this one felt like they were both struggling to really get a punch in and really fight each other.
Yeah, that's true. This really felt like... kind of like a continuation of La Femme Nikita for me.
For me, this felt like the unmade sequel to The Professional.
Or, yeah.
I'm telling... It's...
But it's La Femme Nikita is something else that Luc Besson did, you know? And... It that's what it felt like for me, and this movie did another thing that I kind of can't stand about recent action movies, is that they kind of, the best stuff is at the beginning, and then the everything else just can't compare to the best part, because when she's in jail. And that whole part was awesome. It was so good. It was very clever. Everything about it, I really enjoyed that. And then I just didn't think there was anything that really compared to it. Like when she went down to Mexico. I mean, that was kind of neat.
The shark thing was...
That was pretty neat, but it just didn't compare, or it wasn't even better.
But I have to say, I loved the final kill.
Yes.
I was expecting something else, and then, oh, pleasant surprise. Something neat. That's they get really creative now in action films, revenge films, with the kills.
Which is nice. Mm-hmm. You have to do that.
Yeah.
Take a lesson, Hollywood. Be creative. Take about a lesson. Everything.
Be super creative.
Please.
No more remakes.
Yes. Overall, though, I liked it. I thought it was good. And for the $6.95 that we got... Andrew's nice little
$6.50.
That's true.
Actually, I paid $7.
Here's your knucklehead.
You were supposed to get the free soda.
I gave it to the girl. I wanted to be on good terms with her.
That's right. Later in the night, she said, he's a saint. That Thomas Willett, Saint Willett,
and that means a lot coming from her, right?
Anyways, let's end up here.
I don't know where to go with this. I think it's worth seeing if you want a nice action film,
a little matinee or something,
and it's not like stupid.
No.
I don't think a lot of times action films think that they can be stupid in exchange for more crazy action. Mm-hmm. There's a line that you have to draw, and they have to cross that line to a certain point to become, something good.
Like, I constantly watch a lot of action movies that are very stupid. But the ones I love, like Bourne, like Transporter, those are because they're smart.
Yeah.
And their world is, for the most part, pretty developed, and they abide by the rules of the world, and then there's also cool action going on, and it doesn't help there, or doesn't hurt that Matt Damon and Jason Statham.
I don't like action that much, so that's why I don't really like it as much as you, though. Mm-hmm. I thought it was okay for what it was.
I thought it was okay.
Definitely for a low price.
I'd say, DVD. Yeah. Rental.
But like I'm saying, matinee, that's probably $8. Yeah. That's totally fine. I wouldn't go with any more than $8, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, buddy. I got the good stuff.
Oh, my God.
Put your hands on the car! Put your hands on the car!
You think this is funny?
No, sir!
No, sir!
To teach you how to be a killer,
but I just remember where you came from.
Who are you?
Not from the service.
It's 22 murders in the last 4 years.
I'm doing this my way.
Why?
You know why.
She's going after us. She's just a girl. Take care of it.
I don't know if something or someone hurt you before.
Find her! Look everywhere!
Talk to me.
What do you want to know?
Anything. Something about you.
I was 9 when my parents were killed.
All right.
Oh, man. Wasn't that a doozy?
Wow.
I'm amazed that our old reviews were so short.
Yeah.
Now we just can't stop talking.
I'm done, actually. I've said all I need to say.
Yes.
Just see my old review, and there you go. Yeah.
But that was also back when we did 2 episodes a week.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of stuff going on.
It was taxing 2 a week.
A lot of content we were rolling out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But all right, here we go. Looking back again at Columbiana. Oh, I had some notes from our actual old review.
Can we ask Tom about the movie theater thing, the soda?
Yeah, well, we do have to solve that mystery. I don't remember what happened with the soda.
The soda?
There's a part in the old review where it was something like you gave a free soda coupon to a girl?
Yeah.
And it was important because you wanted her to respect you or like you or something?
Wow, I don't remember this at all.
Well, whatever it was, there was a phrase used that I liked where, I believe, Matt, you said, he's a saint.
Well, he is a saint. Tom, you're still a saint.
Yes.
And I don't remember if maybe we were quoting whoever he gave the soda coupon to?
Maybe, I don't know.
Wow.
You've asked Michelle, right?
Have I asked her? No, yeah. I haven't asked her.
Oh, well, I asked Juliana. She doesn't remember.
Oh, okay.
So I was thinking, I have no idea who it is.
Which theater did we see that at? Is that Century? In Huntington?
Oh, man.
Where did we see this?
No, it was only out for 2 or 3 weeks at this point. This was our episode 24 aired the 15th of September back in 2011. Really?
Killing a Fly, leave me alone. No. Okay. Yeah. So let's.
I don't remember where we were.
Let's
but
do it.
Also from our old review, Tom, you said the action scenes weren't earned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we both were like, "What do you mean?"
Yeah, we didn't know what you meant. So hopefully we'll get to more on that. I love how we talked about that guy who looked like Asif Manvi.
Oh yeah.
Upon my second watching, I went, "Are we sure that that's not really Asif Manvi?"
Yes.
What was his name? Cliff.
Cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger, yeah. Good old Cliffhanger.
Good old Cliffhanger.
Yeah, that guy is a great actor.
You wanted to go to school or shoot cards in the parking lot?
And Matt, this was from the same director as Transporter 3, Olivier Megaton.
Yeah.
I just thought it was Oliver, but okay.
Well, you know, I'm making
Olivia
it French.
Olivia Newton-John, yeah.
Yep, Megatron.
And I still haven't seen Transporter 3.
No, ooh, that's... You can skip two. Just see one and three.
I've seen two.
And is there a fourth one? And did I see it?
No.
It's coming.
It's coming. It's called
that's right.
Transporter Legacy.
Legacy. We talked about that.
And it doesn't have Statham.
Yeah, and
it
has Jeremy Renner.
Well, and that would make it better.
He's the fill-in.
Yeah. They replaced
the fill-in villain. I enjoyed that, Matt, in your complaining about the fight scenes in this movie of our original review, you referenced the Raid trailer. Not even the actual, we hadn't even seen the Raid at this point. Just the trailer for the Raid was
That's so amazing.
The action was so good in the trailer that you were just saying, it's not as good as the trailer.
Go back to the trailer, guys.
I liked, at one point I made a call for no more remakes, which, you know. I still stand by that.
Why
Let's
did you
stop
make
it.
That call? I don't remember
It must have been a lot of remakes are coming out, but still a lot of remakes are coming out.
Yeah, we did have the Apes. Apes came out at the same time. It was Apes and something. Oh, and 30 Minutes or Less, but that's not a remake.
No.
So that's all my notes from the old review. The strange little things that we mentioned. But yeah, it was just under 10 minutes, that old review.
Good lord, really?
Wow.
So I already know our new thoughts are going to be a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a completely different opinion about this movie. I think for me it still kind of drags. Like the first 45 to 50 minutes are like the best parts of this movie, especially when she's a kid. I don't know why I didn't take this in before, but it's like, man, what a like a difficult scenario and to have to go through, but then also talk about like unconditional love from a daughter to a father. Like your father is a horrible person. He's a drug dealer. Think about all the different things that go into making drugs and selling them. And
technically, he didn't make or sell the drugs. He was,
but he's a part of. Part of the business.
Yeah, he was the paid assassin. Essentially, he was. They mentioned at one point that he. He was I didn't even catch. I don't remember catching this part before. He was partners with Don Julio.
Yes.
And
I didn't remember that the first
time. He was the wetworks man, and wetworks is what they call the people who go in and kill everyone. So it's basically, I don't remember this entering my brain the first time I watched it, but this is, it's like a weird thing where maybe if she let her dad, like if her dad didn't double cross his partner, maybe she would have grown up the same. Like, maybe she would have gone into the family business, so to speak, as she does anyway. It's kind of crazy that that's a thing that doesn't even get addressed in the film.
Yeah, and that kind of makes me wonder, because it seemed like her dad...
I don't know what that noise is.
The blinds are going ape poop here. Yeah,
okay.
I don't know why. Okay. The blinds sound like when you put your finger in a fan, it goes...
Yes. Yeah. That was weird.
All right, you're welcome, audience. No, but it seems like her dad had even despite his nefarious activities, like he still had his head on his shoulders and was kind of like, I'll just hold it for the review, maybe.
I don't know what's happening.
Like, I think maybe he would have kept her going to school, and she probably would have been well off. I don't know if he would have.
Yeah, and the other weird thing is he was double-crossing his partner, right? Because he gave Catalea, that's the little girl's name.
And the flower.
And the flower. He gave her like some kind of a microchip or whatever full of all the information needed to...
It looked like a micro SD card.
Which didn't exist in 92. But it's funny because initially in the meeting between Don Julio and Fabio, he's holding floppy disks.
Right.
Which I was like, oh, wow, floppy disks. Yeah, it's like a weird thing where it's like, oh, I these are the floppy disks with all the information. Okay. And then suddenly he has this much smaller thing with all the same information on it.
And she swallows it.
Well, she swallows it and then dramatically vomits it up in front of the Amnesty International. What were they?
They were like the embassy, I guess.
The embassy, yeah.
I think I respected the fact that she also had to pick through it. It seemed pretty gritty.
Yeah.
Like, the whole opening was very dramatic, very gritty. And, like, I think it worked well enough, considering how quick everything moves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it worked well enough to make you care about this character, and you're like, I hope she kills him. Like, I hope she gets her revenge.
Yeah, and I think it also shows that she's capable of it, even from that age.
Yeah.
When she grabs that knife from wherever it's hidden on that table and stabs Marco's hand, that's not like, she's not hesitant in doing that. That's something that maybe she's been trained to do, or maybe she's seen done.
Right.
Like, it's a weird thing for her to be so casual about it. That's kind of like a foreshadowing of her later abilities.
One of the things that we mentioned, I think, in the older view, is that Tom and I didn't buy that magically she could just do parkour and was very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't bother me so much this time around because I was really captivated. Like, when that scene where it's the close-up of her face and you hear the gunshots, you know, mm-hmm. her parents dying, like, I got teary-eyed.
And you see, like, it was so much more gruesome than I remembered.
That was really good.
I did not...
She was Rue in the Hunger Games.
Oh, that's really? Right.
Yeah.
That's why she looks familiar. She was really good.
Yeah. Look at this.
I bought her.
That's really
one
what
year
I was
before the Hunger Games.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I did during the movie. This person looks familiar. Oh.
Quick.
Yeah. Because apparently on IMDb, this movie has no trivia.
Nope. Just pretty much straightforward.
Nope. Nothing here. And I was trying to put together some facts in this film. So it's 92. That flashes on screen when the movie opens.
Columbia, 1992.
Yeah. So at one point the dad is saying something about, Marco says, I went to your confirmation.
Yeah.
Which that's a thing that happens when a child is 12 or 13. So she's at least 12 or 13 at the time of her parents dying.
Yeah.
And then we go to 15 years later. So she becomes a 27-year-old, but also 15 years later from 92 is 2007. Those are the ground facts.
Yeah,
I got those facts for us.
Okay, that's funny. I didn't even stop to think about that.
I didn't think about in the first watch, but the second watch, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder, like, because I couldn't, I was like, I wonder how old she's supposed to be. And then he says confirmation. I was like, oh, okay. That gives us a clue on her age. Do you have more to talk about the beginning? Because I have.
I could talk about the beginning a lot.
Yeah.
Because the beginning, it's 30 whole minutes of this little girl.
Yeah.
Before we even get to see Zoe Saldana.
Right.
I think it transitions really well when you first meet her as an adult. Because, hold on. Let me backtrack. This movie had, like, you know, I mentioned it was, like, gritty and realistic, dramatic, like, at the beginning. And then right when the uncle comes in and he's like, you want to be a killer? Boom, 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 boom. Like, really? No one's like, hey, it was that guy.
Hey, it was that. And he's, if you look in the background, they're on the sidewalk next to the school.
Yes.
Next to the school.
Like
the teachers should be running out or children or something.
Exactly. Like,
how many shots did he even fire? Like six?
Five or six? That scene didn't need to be, I don't think that scene needed to be in there.
Or as dramatic as it was. We certainly needed to see her choose. But it was just so over the top.
It could have just been like in a backyard or an alley somewhere and he shoots like a rat.
Yeah, or just shoots a gun, period.
Yeah.
Like, that should be enough to get someone's attention.
Or there's like a hobo sitting up against the wall.
He shoots a hobo?
Like, no, he doesn't shoot the hobo. He shoots above the hobo and the hobo pisses himself.
Let's rewrite this movie. I said no more remakes, but let's make a remake of.
Yeah, let's rewrite this movie.
Mm-hmm. I heard him say that too.
Oh, I thought it was clever.
No. Anyway, what did
you want to bring up?
No, I just I had a funny note early on Fabio goes back home to tell his family they gotta go. And then another car pulls up, and that's Don Luis's men. And one of them... he talks like... And I wrote down, did Lou Ferrigno do ADR on this film? That's what it sounded like, Lou Ferrigno's voice. So when she gets extradited or whatever, she goes to Miami with an escort. A woman is taking her, like her presumably to a foster family or something.
You know how smart her dad is.
Yeah.
Through all that,
and she escapes the custody, and then she gets bus fare to Chicago, and she's in Miami, so she takes a bus from Miami to Chicago.
Yeah,
so, and they gave her hypothetically enough money for that, because apparently when you enter America, they give you $100 or something.
Something like that, like that. All that is totally fine. I buy that. Like I don't have to stretch my imagination so much to where it's like, oh god, but like the whole shooting by the school. Come on, sorry.
And I just think it's when it transitions to Zoe Saldana, it's almost like they were really trying to make a lot of excuses to explain how she became who she was by showing us all this backstory. I mean, it works, it's effective, but it almost feels to me like really two different films.
Yeah, and I remember we mentioned that in our old review that we both thought that like it was just going to be 5-10 minutes of her little girl and then let's get the movie rolling, but it's not.
No. So I remember, I think we all liked this first little gimmick where she gets into the jail just to kill the guy.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Sure. Wasn't wild about it the second time.
Well, but it's so. I don't remember noticing that the head
like Rihanna.
Well, the head cop at the precinct has an Irish accent,
right?
And I'm not sure if that's like a weird racist thing or what was going on there. But he was like, Officer Doyle, come on in to my.
Hoity toity toity.
Yeah, it was very strange.
Oh my shillelagh!
You said it. Thank you. I wasn't gonna say it.
But we see that she knows what she's doing. And she manages to kill this guy. And this is, again, it's so funny because I remember having this thought back then and I had this thought again. Why wasn't Zoe Saldana cast as Catwoman? She's doing here what Catwoman does, like, except for the killing. But
right.
Imagine that Catwoman does all these same moves, these climbing up these buildings and timing the fan so that she can get by and turning the security cameras and then just stealing a thing instead of killing a guy.
You know, I didn't have any problems with Halle Berry's Catwoman.
I'm talking about immediately after this was The Dark Knight Rises with Anne Hathaway.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
And I'm not wild about Anne Hathaway's Catwoman. Does Tom have an opinion on this?
Well, I like Anne Hathaway either way, so I'm fine with
but
it.
But do you like her Catwoman? I mean, do you feel like her Catwoman was even a character? Like, even thinking back on the film...
It felt like Michelle Pfeiffer to me.
I don't know.
She was trying to do her best Michelle Pfeiffer.
It's been a few years since I saw it, and I don't remember it bothering me.
It just... I don't know. I just feel like Catwoman could have been more awesome in that film. And,
a lot of things could have been more awesome.
She was kind of bland. And this is what we needed. Some cool sequence like this.
Yes, with Irish cops.
I also think maybe... Maybe there's some racism involved. Maybe they wanted a white Catwoman, you know?
Yeah.
Even though sometimes in the comics a lot, she's portrayed as having brown skin or something like that.
I think you're thinking of thick skin.
That too.
She probably does have thick skin.
And whiskers. Yeah. She has whiskers. Anyway, it's still a thing that's on my mind where I feel like she could have been a perfect Catwoman.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
I totally forgot Callum Blue is in this movie.
Yes, when his name popped up in the opening credits, I went, holy shit, who was he?
Yeah.
I could not remember him at all. And his character's name is Mr. Richard.
He's the CIA. Oh, yeah, he's a big dick. he's the CIA, like, agent or whatever.
Yeah.
But like he was trying to do an American accent, right?
And that's the key word, trying.
Sometimes it slipped.
Oh, it was terrible.
I would have totally been fine that, you know, our CIA agent is English. Right, he's English or
could they,
Welsh?
He's something like that. But they could, because in Dead Like Me, he definitely has the British accent.
Yeah.
They either should have cast someone who is American or not made him CIA. Like, I don't understand why they needed to do it like this.
No,
why they needed to make it so his character is forgettable, worthless, and just bad.
He's still charming, though.
I mean, of course, yeah. But it's just it, not as much as he should be. So they note how there was, like, a thing with... Oh, what's his name? Agent. I have it written down somewhere. Where is it?
Carter.
Agent Ross?
Yeah.
The black cop.
I liked him. I thought he was good.
Who I had forgotten was a character in this film. He's like, oh, we need to get the word out that there's this weird killer with this drawing that happens.
Lipstick drawing.
And so they get the word out, and then the uncle... reads it in the paper, and he says there's been 22 murders in the past 4 years. Like, so I'm trying to figure out here, these 22 people that she's killed, are they all connected to Don Luis?
I'm assuming they're either associates or they're business partners.
But here's the other interesting thing, which I don't remember noting this the first time I watched it. Catalea is actually working for her uncle as an assassin.
Yeah.
Because she gets the mission to go kill the Ponzi scheme guy, right, with the sharks, which that's a super short scene, and that could have been much better done, right?
Right.
Sexy result.
I feel like... but then when she kills him, even though he's unrelated to Don Luis, she still does the lipstick drawing on him.
I think it's because that, at that time it's already out. It's press is already made aware of the killings, and so this is just adding more to it.
So it just feels weird to me that then the uncle would be surprised at the number of killings if he's contracting her to do some of those killings, right?
Yeah. So, like, is she doing two kills in a month?
You know what I mean? She's working double duty sometimes.
Or, you know, if he contracted her to do 3 kills a year. Is she doing 6? Something like that.
But mostly in Chicago, so she can hang out with her boyfriend.
Chi-town, which that whole part of the story I could care less about.
Yeah.
This time I actually got more into it.
Really?
I'm surprised that I got into it, actually. Because I remember not liking it at all. His name is Danny. And
good old Danny.
He's played by Michael...
Richards.
Vartan.
Okay.
From Alias. I've since seen some episodes of Alias, and yeah, I think he's really great in Alias, and he plays a spy in Alias, and here he's just a dude. He's just some guy. He's an artist.
He was forgettable for me.
What I thought was really interesting, and I noted this much later in the film, the part in the film later on where, so he takes a picture of her, and then his friend wants to help him find out more about her. His friend has a sister-in-law at the DMV, so he sends that picture to the DMV lady, and she's going to run it through the computer.
Yep.
So that
using
they can
magic.
So that they can find out who she is. So here's the weird thing. Catalea, that character, is in a revenge action film.
Mm-hmm.
Danny is in a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
This is so strange. And I kind of love it.
That's why I didn't like it. It doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit, and I think that's like the point of it. The point it's the complete flipping in a film like this where it has a male lead. Danny's the woman, and he is in this film fulfilling exactly what a woman would do in a dumb male action film where the woman would accidentally get the spy caught. Like, it's almost too perfect. Like, I kind of like that weird.
I didn't get to see the last
line.
10 minutes. Does she meet up with him again?
They have a phone call.
Yeah, it's whatever. Exactly. That relationship. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot there, and no, I want them to make it.
Because if this were a traditional, like, action movie where there's a romance involved, you you'd see them walking or kissing or doing something, being intimate at the end of the film.
Well, she has to run away because she's wanted by the government.
She could have came, kissed him, said, I love you. And I'm gonna
leave
she
does you. Say, I love you.
Yeah, but I mean, came. And
but then she
him.
Gets on a bus.
She could have visited.
No, the as soon as the phone call goes through, they start tracing it.
Nope.
They're tracing his calls.
Nope. That's why. Okay, she can magically get into, not magically, but she can get into the FBI agent's house, but she can't get into her man's place.
Well, later on she will. We just don't see that part.
Oh, uh-huh, exactly.
Look, they're this saving it for Colombianas.
Oh, this is for her children who are killers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or Colombianas. Colombananas.
Yep, I hope you were going to say bananas.
There you go. But I just think that's such a perfect way to portray how badly women are treated in spy action films.
I do like the role reversal.
Where you show Danny as like this bumbling idiot who's like, I just want to get to know you. It's like, you're so dumb. She's a killer. Like, you don't want to know this.
Yeah, you do.
But it's great. And the scenes are sexy. I think like sometimes in films they don't capture like a spontaneousness or something. I think something works there.
Like, it kind of bothered me, but it didn't only because the scene didn't last so long. I'm like, do we really need to see? Oh yeah, she's an attractive woman. Like, let's see her take her clothes off. And I didn't like that, but
they did it a couple of times.
Yeah,
actually, there was at least three separate occasions in this film where she was partially nude for almost no reason.
Yeah, but they go really quickly, so it doesn't bother me. They're not overextended.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just like, oh, no, you're just, thrown out there as a piece of meat. I'm not a fan of that.
Another thing that bothered me this time that I don't remember bothering me before, so she leaves the drawing of the flower in lipstick on the bodies of the people that she kills. In those 4 years, not once did the FBI think, or the police think to go, huh, it's a drawing. Maybe it's a flower. Let's ask a florist or an artist what this looks like. No, we need a janitor to just stumble into the scene and go, oh, that's Catalea.
It's Goodwill Hunting now.
Although now that you've set it in the world that it is 2007, searching through Google Image, you can't do that.
Not quite, but the government had things before Google Image. It's just a thing, or honestly, they could have brought in an artist, because also Danny the artist knew what a Catalea was.
Yeah.
Like, it's a weird thing where, like...
Also, does he not read the newspaper? Because she had that painting. Like, she painted that in the first time you see her in his place or her place.
Yeah.
She has that painting up on the wall. Danny, didn't you read the news?
Well, I don't think he's been to her place. But he's definitely seen... He's seen her...
That's
her necklace.
That's why I remember if it was her place or his place.
Yeah.
Well, the first time that they make love.
But another weird thing is that he thinks her name is Jennifer.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. She has to give him a face.
I know, but Mickey. it's a weird thing where it's like, shouldn't he like freak out when he finds out like, oh, you've been lying to me. That's a freak out moment.
Yeah. But I guess, even though I don't buy this relationship, but it works in that he loves her. Or he thinks he loves who she is. So, or he loves that she's a good person, I guess. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't mind.
Yes. And I maybe I'll add this to IMDb since Tom. Is the goof section for Colombiana on IMDb full of things?
Because
I saw a big one.
Oh, I forgot to check that. I was looking for trivia just to see if I should look for something.
So I've established, given the timeline that the film has given us, the current year in the film is 2007, even though it was released in 2011. In 2007, in the CIA office, behind Callum Blue, there's
Obama.
A picture of Obama.
Yeah, that's why.
And in 2007, he was the president.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of like, whatever.
But the funny thing is, you remember better the fact that she, using her sniper rifle, shoots through the window at a picture of Callum Blue with George Bush.
Yeah.
You remember that picture more than the one behind him. I think that's like a weird trick of the mind where maybe you'll forget about that Obama picture because the picture that gets shot is the one with him and Bush.
Oh, I just thought it was a political thing. Like, they didn't like Bush.
Me too. I remember thinking that when the film came
out.
But
considering this is like a Dutch director, I believe, or he's German. Or is he French?
He must be French.
Is he French?
He's a Luc Besson player.
Bassanite.
Let's call him. Like how Judd Apatow has his crew. This is Luc Besson's crew. Speaking of which, in the credits, I also noticed this film was edited by Camille Delamar, the director of Brick Mansions.
Yeah.
And of something upcoming. Hold on, let me...
Brick Mansions too.
Talk about...
I'm going to talk about something.
Tom, you haven't brought up any points. What did you take away from the second viewing that you didn't from the first?
Well, as with Matt, I enjoyed the first 40 minutes. Then after that, I kind of trailed off and don't remember much of it. You've clearly memorized it better than I did. I don't even remember this. I just saw it like 5 hours ago.
I took notes.
I didn't take notes, but yeah, I literally watched it right before it came here.
Yeah, and I barely remember anything besides thinking, oh yeah, that opening is pretty good. I like the action and all that.
Yeah, like I think afterwards, after the jail scene, it's just kind of so what? I mean, so she kills another guy and the FBI is looking for her. Well, I'm never freaking out or afraid that they're gonna get her, because I never have that fear.
Yeah,
just based on how good she is and the fact that this FBI agent, he's terrible. If this is how our Bureau of Investigation, if this is the quality of talent there, then we suck.
Yep, and he went on to do Low Winter Sun.
Is that like the sequel to Black Hole Sun?
No, it was a really bad show on AMC.
Okay, I've got...
AMC does bad shows?
Yeah.
I'm hoping Turn isn't one of them.
Camille?
I tried watching the first episode and couldn't get through it.
It's a little slow.
Yeah.
Also, it's kind of difficult to pick up what's going on exactly.
It's American Revolution and their spies.
I got that part.
Okay. Either way, I couldn't get into Turn, so I don't recommend it.
Camille Delamar directed Brick Mansions and will be the director of Transporter Legacy.
Ah.
But this person has also edited Taken 2,
nope.
Lockout,
nope.
And Transporter 3.
Okay.
So,
1 out of 3.
That's interesting.
Well, I never saw Lockout, so 1 out of 2.
Yeah.
I didn't really like Brick Mansions. I action.
It was
that
silly.
Movie.
It was dumb.
Just the way the action was shot in that movie. It's like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
You've seen how it's shot in the original. Come on.
I also have some money information here. I went to Box Office
money
Mojo.
Can
let me
be
see.
Exchanged.
You know what? Let me see
Brick
what it places. So, when Columbiana came out, its opening weekend it made $10 million.
Ooh.
It opened in 2,000 theaters, over 2,000, a little over 2,600, and the lifetime gross for it was $36 million. And let me see where it placed in the 10 that week.
I think it was like number 3 if I remember my research.
Come on.
It's you guys doing research.
Yeah. Either way, I kept thinking during the opening, it was like with the little girls right now, I'm thinking, yeah, I'd rather be watching Hannah right now.
Oh, man. It opened the same week as Shut Up, Little Man. Remember
Shut
that
up,
review?
Man.
Yeah. Oh, boy. That was a good review.
Yeah.
Why can't I find the actual box office top 10 on Box Office Mojo? What is happening right now?
Just
Google that week.
Give me a minute.
Google it.
Give me like 20 minutes. I thought I had it all lined up, and then I clicked it, and it all went wrong.
And you ruined it. Now the podcast is bad.
When did it come out? When did I say?
2011.
August something?
August of 2011.
When did the exact weekend? 26.
Yeah, okay.
Doesn't matter what the year is. We made contact that year.
Yes.
All right. Oh, it opened at number 2.
I thought we made contact in 92, or was it 93?
Well, that was one of the years we made contact.
Yeah, with Jodie Foster.
The Help was a 3-week-old movie, and it was still number 1.
Yeah, it was that word-of-mouth thing.
Columbiana opened to number 2, right above Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which was 4 weeks on.
Take that.
It was doing that well. And then, I remember we watched Our Idiot Brother. It opened that weekend as well.
Oh, yeah.
That was fine.
And it was number 5.
That was a movie.
Yeah.
So that was what was going on that week in the world box office. World box office? No. Nope.
The world
That's
boxing office.
Wow.
Overall, I think what I took away from this film is that I actually liked it less.
Oh, wow.
I remember liking it quite a bit when it came out. I was just remembering the good parts, the parts that I liked. That opening action sequence, the kid was really good. I kind of like some of the fighting at the end.
I think the parts that I liked overshadow the parts that I don't like. And I think now in return, or in retrospect, if I could use words properly, I like it more than when I originally did. When I first viewing it, it was good. It was fine. I think I mentioned something about, for $7, sure, why not? I liked it more.
Yeah.
Because the beginning had a lot of staying power. Just the girl in her eyes and when she's crying, when she sheds a couple of tears or whatever, that I had it reminded me of the tension underneath the floor in Inglourious Basterds. When they're underneath the house, you feel that tension and you're fearful of what's going to happen, because I knew that he was going to come back and be like, okay, did we get everyone? And that encounter is just like,
I also think it's worthwhile to talk about Zoe Saldana as an actress, as an action star.
I feel like in Guardians of the Galaxy, she put on a little more weight. Because in this movie, I was like, man, she's pretty skinny.
Yeah, I think that might have been on purpose, her being very skinny in this film.
Yeah. She takes the bus a lot.
I think it's more the paint. The layers are really thick.
Yeah, right? She was very green. But yeah, she's truly...
What, you mean inexperienced?
Oh, boy. I think she's truly... she's taken on the mantle of like a female action star.
Yes.
And you can go all the way back to Columbiana and see you can really see her chops here as doing stunts and fighting scenes and all that. And it's led all the way to Guardians of the Galaxy, a super huge film.
What else has she done in between?
She was also in Star Trek, which I feel like she's underserved both times in Star Trek. I feel like her character deserves so much better in those films, and it's atrocious. It's absolutely atrocious.
The first Star Trek came out before Columbiana, right? That's 2010?
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
I don't care about that first one. I think it was actually 2009, if you want to...
No.
If we want to...
No, but I don't want to go there, but you're doing it anyways. Yeah. Data Man.
Star Trek.
The year we made contact.
Star Trek. Star Trek.
I'll run that into the ground.
2009, yep. And Into Darkness was 2013.
And I never saw the second one.
Well, it was a con. Right. Can't wait till they remake Search for Spock.
What do they call it?
Search for Not Spock.
They don't need to find him.
Well, Search for Not Spock, because they're going to hide it from you. You know, just like with Con.
Search for Simon Pegg and Zoe Saldana in a better movie together.
Wasn't they together in How to Lose Friends and Alienate People?
Oh, do I have to watch that?
Really?
It wasn't very good. I could be wrong. I could swear they were in a movie together, though.
You're wrong, Tom. You're thinking of... I can't think of that lady's name. She was
Thandie Newton? Because she's British.
Oh, probably Thandie Newton.
I don't blame you.
Can I get some Thandie Newton? Hello. No, I was thinking of the lady from I Love You, Man, and that one movie I didn't like.
Rashida Jones?
Yeah, with the hipster glasses.
Jeff Bridges was in How to Lose Friends and Alienate People?
Wow, you don't remember it at all.
I put it just out of my brain completely because I remember hearing it was bad.
Oh, it was.
And I just don't want to think of Simon Pegg like that.
Well, sadly, he has made many reasons to think that way.
Thandie Newton plays herself in How to Lose Friends and Alienate People.
I'm just going to keep that joke that I made in my head. I'm going to keep that to myself.
Chris O'Dowd was in this?
Oh, COD. Boy.
Yep.
James Corden. What is happening?
This should have been great, right?
And Gillian Anderson.
We still talking about Columbiana?
Oh, David Alt made Columbiana better.
Who?
All of those people you named?
Yeah.
If Chris O'Dowd was the police captain?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, though he didn't help the second Thor movie. They just kicked him around for like 2 minutes.
Never saw it. I'm sorry.
Don't worry. It sucks balls.
Nope.
Oh, there's some interesting parts.
Yeah. The end credits ending.
Do you just like Benicio del Toro that much?
No, it's... I can leave now.
Anyway, I think... we've summed it up here.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I still don't like these type of movies.
Well, if our schedules are correct, in a couple of weeks, you'll be hearing our thoughts again on Drive.
All right.
But next week it'll be back to normal. A normal episode of Nerds Eye View.
Yeah, stupid podcast. What do you think we were going to be reviewing there that time?
Probably Sin City.
No, that's a tease. Okay.
So
I'm setting you up there, buddy.
Let's thank the YouTube Audio Library for our theme song,
I'm
Sophomore Makeout,
from
whoever sings it. I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front of me. What are they called? Do you even remember?
No.
Exactly. So let's also thank Justin Cuzon of Agents of Guard
that
for our
sucks.
Logo.
I hate that guy.
You like a podcast, you should check out Shut Up, Leonard.
No, you don't get that either. I'm mad at you. You ruined my setup.
It's a podcast that Benson and I do talking about Community. That TV show. It's now on Yahoo.
Yahoo!
Oing.
Tom, what do you do on the internet?
I tend to write for a few websites, including optigrap.org, which is where I write about movies, TV, all things pop culture. I review shows like right now I'm reviewing Orange is the New Black on Saturdays and Master of Sex on Wednesdays. I hope to find new stuff because summer's ending and winter's coming. I got to find something new. And I also write over at ReadWave on Mondays and Wednesdays, so check me out there.
And what else do we do? Vote for us on podcastland.com. That's a website where they do podcast of the month. Every month you can vote for your favorite podcast to win podcast of the month. That's how that works. And you should go to benviewnetwork.com for all the other podcasts on the Benview Network. Podcasts like Popsicles. Podcasts like...
Nick's Castle.
Nope. That's not... We do have a video game.
Part of the Benview Network.
We do have a video game podcast on the Benview Network, and it's called Extra Damage. Podcasts like Matt and Brendo's Wrestling Show. Here's a little tease. They're having a big special guest on soon. Very special.
I can't wait to hear it, brother.
It's not a wrestler, and that's the interesting part.
Well, let me tell you, brother. Am I on it? Is it me? Are you breaking the news right now?
You doing that voice? Yeah.
I'm on it?
Pat Albert.
Also, you should check out Midnight Marinera, part of the Benview Network. Our wonderful friend David King, who takes creepypastas and other scary stories and adapts them as radio dramas. It's a fun show, a little bit spooky.
It's my hipster headband.
I don't listen at night. You've doubled a cord as a headband. Uh-huh. You now look like those technology people at the end and beginning of Transcendence, the ones that use their keyboards as doorstops.
Zap.
I haven't seen Transcendence, so this makes no sense to me.
Don't worry about it. So thank you all for listening. Please check out our personal website, anyviewpodcast.com, or send us an email, anyviewpodcast@gmail.com, or on Twitter, @anyviewpodcast, and all that other good stuff, rating and reviewing us on iTunes. So until next time...
Never forget where you came from.
Podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.